I'm Gabe Ortiz, afternoon host at WIPR. Federal funding for public radio is under serious threat. An end to that funding would make the live streams like this one more difficult to maintain. Stand up for public media and help fortify WIPR's future. Find out more and donate at WIPR.org. Thank you.
And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Coming up tomorrow on our show, we'll talk about the price tag of climate change. Maryland Comptroller Brooke Lehrman recently released a report looking at the hidden costs of a changing climate for our state. We'll also discuss Maryland's credit rating and the shifting sands of the state budget, plus the end of an era in Johns Hopkins sports. Legendary baseball coach Bob Babb has finished his final season with the Blue Jays, and he leaves an unmatched legacy. Comptroller Brooke Lehrman and Coach Bob Babb join me tomorrow here on Midday. And now a conversation about police accountability. A years-long effort to improve accountability and transparency within the BPD began in 2017 when a consent decree with the Baltimore Police Department and the Department of Justice mandated that the department make significant improvements in transparency and procedure. 8 years later, a federal judge recently released BPD from two sections of the consent decree, a sign that changes have been made, but some community organizers and police reformers caution that work still needs to be done. Meanwhile, Baltimore City voters enshrined new control over its police department to the city council. So to discuss local control and the consent decree and what it means for Baltimore City Police, we are joined by Ray Kelly. He's the executive director of the Citizens Policing Project. Ray Kelly also sits on the Maryland Police Training and Standards Commission and the Baltimore City Administrative Charging Committee. And he joins me here in Studio B. Always good to see you, sir.
Thanks for having me back.
So can you start with a little primer about how all these different committees and boards work? The Maryland Police Training and Standards Commission, what does that do, and what does the Baltimore City Administrative Charging Committee do?
Okay, so the Training and Standards Commission is the state entity that actually certifies individuals to be police officers. So they oversee all the training requirements, the applications, and things of that nature. And they also oversee training and administration of all of the administrative charging committees in the state. So every county, as well as Baltimore City, has their own police accountability board and administrative charging committee. The police accountability board is more the public-facing representation and police accountability. They engage with the public more and kind of listen to the concerns of their prospective districts. And the administrative charging committee is the enforcement or adjudicating entity that reviews the misconduct complaints. We actually review the complaints. We decide if we're going to charge or not charge the officer, and we impose the discipline for that misconduct.
Back to the Training and Standards Commission. That seems to me to be a very fundamental part of this whole puzzle, because it was training holding officers accountable to that training that led to a lot of unconstitutional behavior by the police prior to the consent decree for decades and decades. So are you satisfied that the training that Baltimore City Police personnel are going through, as well as personnel across the state, that training has improved, that people understand what's good, what's bad, what's wrong, what's right? Are you confident that the standards of training we currently have right now are sufficient to ensure that people will be treated in a constitutionally adequate way?
So I think that's a seesaw question. So without a doubt, we've created trainings that should definitely reroute the trajectory of the police department since the consent decree. We do have strong and adequate procedural policies on record with BPD. The question becomes, is the training being adhered to? Is it resonating with the officers? And I think that's yet to be seen. I definitely think the way on paper and what is proposed officers are trained on is more than adequate. It's a matter of, are they actually adhering to these new policies? Are they just doing the trainings as a formality where this has to be done, so we'll do it, but doesn't change how we interact with pedestrians and civilians on the streets?
And that's the meat of the matter, isn't it?
That's the meat.
Yeah, and I spoke with a person actually on the anniversary of Freddie Gray's death at the end of April. I talked to a guy named Evan Shea, who is on the consent decree advisory board.
Mm-hmm.
He works with Ken Thompson and others, making sure that the consent decree is adhered to, and that
the monitoring team,
and they monitor the progress of adherence to the consent decree. And he was pretty optimistic. His opinion was that the police department is a dramatically changed institution, that it is more than just adhering to these standards outlined in the consent decree, but that it's embracing them. Against the consent decree 8 years ago have been weeded out of the department. They're just no longer around. That the force, the police force now, does embrace the standards that are articulated as part of the consent decree. Police commissioner, when I talked to him, he also thinks that it's a dramatically changed department. What's your take?
So I think there is no choice but to adhere to the policies. It's, you're going to work here, you're going to do it the way we say do it. I can only speak factually from my own experience. So what I see from my ACC role is, even though we're 7-8 years into a consent decree and we've created all these new policies, we're still having 1,000 misconduct complaints every year. So I think there has been a positive change in the police department since 2017 when the consent decree was signed.
How does 1,000 complaints compare to 2015 or 2010?
Good question.
Yeah.
Good question. I think there's so many factors in that, it's hard to decipher the data. I saw a data point come out at the mayor's State of the City address that police complaints were down 67%. But in 2 years on the ACC, they've gone up. Our caseloads have gone up. So my question would be, where, in what time frame, where are they collecting this data? Because I can only speak on what I see, and what I see is a continuation of that. And I, don't get me wrong, we're not seeing these huge upticks in police violence, but there's still this, I want to say, disdain in certain communities when police are engaging residents in these areas. So, like, I don't want to say that the numbers are wrong, because I don't have the right numbers, but the numbers I say are facts. So if we had 1,100 cases in 2023 and we had 1,200 in 2024, where are they calculating these decreases in complaints from?
Ray Kelly is executive director of the Citizens Policing Project. He also sits on the Maryland Police Training and Standards Commission and the Baltimore City Administrative Charging Committee, the ACC. I'm Tom Hall. We'll have more with Ray Kelly on the other side of a quick break. But before we go to that break, each week here on Midday, it's our practice to read the names of people who've lost their lives to violence in Baltimore City and to list their names on the Midday webpage. We do so to stand in witness to their untimely deaths and to remember their families and their friends in their hour of grief. So far this year, 59 people have been victims of homicide in our city. Thomas Barnes, age 28, was killed the week before last. Police have identified three people who were killed last week. They are Dimitri Briscoe, age 26, Bryant Breland, age 42, and Derek Parker. He was 36 years old. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Midday on 88.1 WIPR, Baltimore's NPR news station.
And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. If you've just joined us, we're talking about police accountability with Ray Kelly, who has long been an advocate for transparency and accountability in the BPD. He's the head of the Citizens Policing Project, and he joins me here in Studio B. You are welcome to join us as well. Our number, 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wipr.org. So, Ray, the fact that the Baltimore City the voters in Baltimore City voted to end sort of ownership, directorship of the police department from the state and bring it back to the city. Local control of the police department was an issue that the voters have weighed in on overwhelmingly. What does that mean for police accountability? It means a lot for police funding, and you know it affects the money. But the state control of the city police was a law that dated from the 19th century, for gosh sake. So
right.
It's no longer in place.
So I think the possibilities are endless, but we don't really know what it means yet. We're just entering this space at the first of the year of the BPD being a local administered entity, but we haven't really had City Hall hearings and discussions to actually define those administrative authorities. Personally, I think this is an opportunity to kind of expand the accountability on how the police department actually operates by now holding them accountable to city council as well. I think city council has an opportunity to put in place checks and balances with a number of things like the budget for one, and where funds are dispersed and what's going to be the procurement processes. But I think it's going to take a strong push from the public to ensure that we are still focused on police accountability. I don't know how to explain how we perceive the police department in a time of historic decreases in homicides and non-fatal shootings, but we have to
remember. That data is going the right direction. There's no
doubt. I agree.
Yeah.
But we also have to remember that we are not under a consent decree because we had 350 homicides every year. We're under a consent decree because the police department was out of control and we had a long, tedious process to establish what the city, everyone was involved from the administrators, the representatives, and the public on what we think a police department should look like, how they should perform, and we can't get away from that. We can't now say, well, crime is down, so we don't have to follow through with police reforms because they were two opposite ends of the pendulum.
I wonder, though, do you think there's a connection between police being more accountable, acting in a more constitutional way, and the fact that crime is diminished? I mean, so, there could be, there couldn't be. I don't
right.
know. What's your
no,
take?
I think that is probably a piece of a 1,000-piece puzzle. There are a lot of people doing a lot of things in this city to kind of change the direct trajectory of violence in the city, and we have to recognize that the numbers that we're seeing now are results of the work done 3-4 years ago. And in the moment, we have to recognize what's happening at the executive level, how the funding channels, thinking about sustainability, what's going to happen as a result of what happens in the next 2 or 3 years, 4 or 5 years from now. So for me, I don't want to discredit the police department, but we know police are called after a crime is committed, not before. So there's a lot of people on the ground who we don't know their names, and they don't want the recognition that are actually the nucleus of this decrease in violence and homicides.
When it comes to the Administrative Charging Committee, that's the entity, as you mentioned, that takes a look at complaints about police misconduct. Are you satisfied that you have the degree of independence that you need, that you have the resources that you need? And as we finish up here in our last 30 seconds, where does that stand? Because that's always been a bone of contention for a long time.
So the one thing we don't have is an independent office. So until we have that, I won't be satisfied. I feel like we've been unstable with that police accountability division and the OECR since the ACC has started. They did recently hire a new director, which hopefully will kind of keep us on the right track and make sure that we're progressing. But there's a lot of work to be done on.
And more to discuss in the future.
Yeah.
All right. We will, of course, have you back, because it's always good to see you. Ray Kelly, thank you so much.
No problem, Tom.
Appreciate it.